I want you to turn to Mark chapter 1 and Luke 5. It's going to be just two short verses, but it's going to be profound when you understand what Jesus is trying to teach you in a basic, back to a basic that is so powerful in your life. In fact, if you'll grab a hold of this basic, look, let me put it this way. If I told you that you could experience miraculous things in your life by doing just something 20 minutes out of your day, less than 1% of your day, less than 1% of your day, if I told you there was something that if you did 20 minutes every day of your life that would produce miraculous results, how many of you would do it? If I told you a secret today, I'm going to share it with you, okay? Jesus shows it. Mark chapter 1, let's go to verse 35. And I want you to see this one thing that will revolutionize your life. 20 minutes. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Didn't take the disciples, didn't take the three, didn't take the one that he loved the most, closest to his heart, John. He said, I'm leaving y'all behind to a solitary place to pray. Now let's go to Luke chapter 5, verse 15. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Let me explain something real quick. How many of you recall the story when the woman with the issue of blood just came up and touched the hem of Jesus' garment and he says, I felt power go out of me just now. Didn't know who touched, just said, I felt power go out of me. Something drained out of him that moment, and it's called compassion fatigue. That when people are drawing from you, you drain quickly. Listen closely. There are those of you that go to work, you're educators, you're a doctor, you're a student, you're a mom trying to raise kids. You've got two in diapers. You've got one that's getting ready to be a teenager, and it's just absolutely sucking the life out of you. There are some of you that are in this room, and you're working with a job where you're going, Pastor, I just don't think I can make it. You're trying to get your degree, and you're going, Pastor, I don't know if this is, I can survive this, and the world is pulling on you. And I've watched Christians where the life is being sucked out of you. And you're going, man, I don't even know if I'm a good Christian. That's called the draining of what the world and life pulls on you. Jesus knew it. But look how he handled it, because so many people were drawn off of him. But Jesus often, everybody say that word, often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. If I told you a secret, if you did this 20 minutes a day, and it would bring miraculous results in your life, if you did this thing that was less than 1% of your time a day, and you would see a dramatic results of miraculous things of God you can experience, how many say I'd do that? Well, I'm going to give you the challenge to do 20 in 20. That in the year 2020, that every day of your life, you will do like Jesus, because stuff is draining on you, that you will give 20 minutes in the year of 2020, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to see some miraculous things happen in your life. You take my word for it. But some of you go, Pastor, I just don't know about this. What are you talking about? I'm talking about you pulling away to a solitary place where you're quiet, just you and God, 20 in 20. It's going to change your life. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm doing 20 and 20, and it's going to change my life. Amen. High five them. Make that declaration, and you can have a seat in the house of God. Now, I'm talking about being alone with God. I'm talking about being quiet with the Lord to a solitary place. I really believe this. I believe that there are some of you that are struggling with addictions. That I'm telling you that if you'll pull away for this 20 and 20, you're going to see dramatic results and transformation in your life in this 20 and 20. There's some of you that are fighting in your marriage like crazy, and ma'am, I'm telling you, if you will take this 20 and 20, sir, if you'll take this 20 and 20, you're gonna see a dramatic switch in your marriage. There's some of you saying, Pastor, I don't know what my career change, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I don't know what my life is supposed to be. If you will give him this 20 and 20, you're gonna see a dramatic, dramatic shift in the clarity of what God's called you to be. In fact, the reason I see so many Christians wandering is because they don't do the basic that Jesus said, you gotta get away from your social media, you gotta even get away, listen closely, from just being in the crowd, you gotta get away from just depending on the small group, you gotta get away from all your friends just for a moment, and even, listen, and even that time where you and your wife pray together and you read together and it's powerful, I'm telling you, the two of you need to come apart where you are just you and God in quiet time. This 20 and 20 will revolutionize your life. That's why so many Christians are wandering, getting stressed out, freaked out, wigging out. It's just bad all over because they won't take that quiet time of God. Now, when I say quiet time, there's some of you going, oh, great, quiet time. Okay, quiet time, Pastor. I don't know about this quiet time, because you don't think you can do this quiet time because you don't think you're spiritual enough. And the reason why you don't think you're spiritual enough is because you're listening to everybody else's quiet time. And you're listening to Sister So-and-so just had quiet time with the Lord. And when she had quiet time with the Lord, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus showed up. And all you could think about was, I want to get to Chick-fil-A because I'm very hungry and I'm starving right now. And they had Moses and Jesus, Elijah showed up in glowing garments. And so you just don't think you're spiritual enough. I'm telling you, the devil really condemns you in this, but I'm telling you, because it's the most profound, most powerful, miraculous thing you will do in your life. It's going to change your life. It could change your career. It could change everything that's going dysfunctional in your family right now if you'll listen to this. How to get quiet time with God. Some of you just go, well, I'm just not spiritual enough because, you know, I heard that one preacher, he wrote that book, and could you not tarry 1 hour? And I remember that book. It was a great, powerful book. Got a great principles and teaching in it. But there's some of us that don't have that mantle of intercessory prayer. There are some of you that God has put a mantle of intercession on you for the nation, for government leaders, for pastors and our community. And he's put that mantle on you for nations and countries. And if that mantle's on you, you better run with that mantle. If he's stirring that mantle, you better run with that mantle. But there's some of you that compare yourself, and that's the worst thing you can do in church. Oh, that's the worst thing, is compare yourself spiritually to other people. Oh, well, I couldn't tarry 1 hour. And you know, Jesus said, could you not tarry 1 hour? Well, Pastor, I tried to tarry 1 hour, and I was 5 minutes into it. And Pastor, it was snooze fest. I mean, I was out like a light. Have you ever been there? Oh, there's a few honest you people. I like you. Amen. I like you. Snooze. That's why when I have my quiet time with the Lord, I kind of walk a little bit. I move a little bit. I get worship and I move a little bit because I sometimes I want to just snooze fest on God, you know. But here's what's happening. When you say this 20 and 20, people just start going, I just don't know that. I don't have these revelations. And then some people tell you, oh, God gave me something in my 20 and 20. And he'll start speaking to you about things. But you start, and they put in their journal. Here, let me get my journal out. And then they get their journal out, and they start reading their journal to you. And you're going, oh, my goodness, this is like poetry. This is like poetry. Listen to this. I mean, and this is an even, listen, they wrote it in Elizabethan English. I mean, this is crazy. You know, this is wild. And I just don't get that, God. And here's mine. Here's mine. I wish my kid would quit bugging me every day. I mean, that's my journal. I'm going to tell you something, that some of you don't do it because you're comparing yourself. I'm going to tell you that there is a secret in the Word of God, the principle of Jesus, that if you'll just take 20 and 20, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you about less than 1% of your day to just be with him. And Jesus knew it. He knew it to get to the cross, to have to deal with after you, the compassion fatigue, the pulling on me. I'm going to have this. Some of you need to have this. You've got jobs where people are hassling. You've got people that are persecuting you. You've got situations in your home. You're dealing with your own temptations. You're trying to raise your own family. And the enemy is going to try to keep you from this. But Jesus said, it was the source of my power to get away to a lonely place. That means nobody's with me. And it's just me and God having this depth that I never knew I could ever have. You've got to have this if you're going to survive this culture. I mean, no, you're going to have this. Amen. So let's talk about this because people get it so twisted, but I want to give you just four simple things about having this great time with God, 2020. I'm going to give you four simple things. You're all ready for this? Here's the first thing. You got to start silencing your soul. Silence your soul. Can you just say that with me for a moment? Silence your soul. Your soul, you remember what I teach? There's a difference between the spirit, the pneuma, versus the soul in you. You are made up of three things. You are a spirit before you're anything. You have a soul, and you dwells in a body. Those three things are a part. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you dwells in a body. The soul is the word psuche in the Greek, which means your psyche, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Here's what God's wanting you to do. He wants you to silence your mind, your will, and your emotions. And when you pull away to that time like Jesus, it would make his mind, will, and emotions get silent. In other words, can I help you on something? There are some times you need to tell your emotions and your mind and your will to shut up. Because it battles, because the Spirit is the one that's leading you, guiding you, and fulfilling you, and enriching you, and refreshing you. Now, I want you to look at this psalm, Psalm 131. Look what the psalmist David said. This is really good. You got to quiet your mind, will, emotions. You have to intentionally silence your soul. You got to silence it. You got to tell it to behave and be quiet. Okay? Look what the psalmist David said, Psalm 131, verse 2. Look what David said. But I have stilled and quieted my what, everybody? My soul. Now look at this. Like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. It's in me. That's the way it behaves. Look at Psalm 62, verse 1, and then we'll go to verse 5. He said, truly, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes, watch this, my salvation. Verse 5, my soul. Look, he's talking to his soul. My soul, wait silently for God alone. Yeah, you can have your small group. Yeah, you can have your friends. Yeah, you can talk to your husband or your wife. Yes, you can get counsel from your parents. But he says, sometimes, soul, I'm going to tell you something. You sit here and shut up and wait for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Not from pastor, not from my small group. My expectation is from him. But the only way I can hear from him is I got to tell soul, you need to settle down. He's telling his soul. He's telling it, soul, be quiet and be silent before God. So let me tell you something here. Your soul talks, listen closely. Your soul talks, in fact, it will scream every time you start talking to God. Listen to me carefully. Your soul starts screaming and talking, especially when you're ready to talk to God. All right, let me prove it to you, okay? So everybody be honest. How many are ready to be honest in this church, okay? All right, you ready? How many of you, whenever you finally get a time to start praying and get alone with God, I'm going to ask you to give 20 and 20. When you finally get alone with God, let me ask you a question. How many of you, all of a sudden, when you start praying, you start remembering everything you need to do? Hold your hand up. I'm not lying, am I? Okay, it didn't happen to you while you're watching that dumb movie, did you? You weren't even thinking about it. You weren't thinking about it at all, were you? You went bowling, for crying out loud, and didn't think about it. You went and got a cup of coffee, and you weren't thinking about it. You were with your friends, and you weren't thinking about it. Why is it that when you start praying, all of a sudden you are reminded? It's like there is a built-in outlook in your head and pops up everything with chimes and alerts only when you're praying. Let me tell you the reason why. Because when you want to start connecting with God, your soul is like a weaned child that starts pouting the moment it is removed from its mother's nourishment from the body and it's time to switch over to solid food. All the mamas in here know, buddy, when that starts happening, that baby cries because it wants what it always wants, and your soul is like a child being weaned. And when you want to start connecting with God, it starts screaming and reminding you of everything. I'm telling you. So let me help you. Let me give you something practical. During that silence of your soul, when you start pulling away God, let me tell you something practical you need to do. always take a notepad or get your memo pad out on your phone, your electronic device. Get it out. And the moment it happens to you, write it down. Your spirit will be at ease. Your soul will shut up, because the moment you put it down, then you got it there. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you who's doing that to you. It's Satan. He's reminding you everything. And so I decided, this is great. This is great. Because he's really a free secretary. I'm telling you, I mean, it's the best. I mean, it's the best. When I pray, I get more things done. I get my to-do list done, because every time I go to pray, he is reminding me everything. And then I say, oh, thanks for reminding me of that, Satan. You're a great secretary. Now listen, now I'll tell you, he'll be a great secretary. He's free. He doesn't cost nothing, nothing. Now, he is the ugliest secretary you will ever. I mean, he's ugly. I mean, ugly, nasty, ugly. But he is free, and he will remind you he is better than Outlook. So if you want to be a person that gets everything done, pray, and you get a free secretary out of the deal. I'm serious. Why is it that stuff comes up when you start praying? I'm telling you, the enemy gets your soul stirred up. And David says, let me tell you, like Jesus, you got to pull apart. He said, because your soul is like a weaned child. Now, let me explain to your soul. When you were conceived, your soul came alive. It came alive. It came alive. When you were born again, your spirit started coming alive. But for so long before you got saved, your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions that has sometimes been so manipulated by Satan in the world, it was in charge. It was screaming when it got removed from the mother's breast. It didn't want to be removed from that sin. It didn't want to be removed from those emotions of depression and anger. It didn't want to be removed from that hostility and the offense that came around. It started screaming. It started revolting. Everything started coming apart. And all of a sudden, your spirit came alive. And when you got born again, your spirit started telling your soul, you're not in charge anymore. You're not the one leading the ship with the emotions or the will. You're not the one that's in charge of my thoughts anymore. The Word of God is in charge. My spirit is in charge. And you're going to have to be silent and sit in your place like a weaned child. You got to tell your soul. You're going to sit there. You're going to behave. And you're going to be silent. It's not going to happen. You're not going to see the miracles. You're not going to hear from God as long as you kept letting your will, your mind, and your emotions be in charge. So let your spirit, listen, let your spirit start controlling. You got to start silencing it. And let me tell you what happens when you do this. You're going to discover something. I have noticed in my time when I do this, I have noticed when all the chaos, and I know what I got to do, I have literally felt in my body something changing when I pull away and say, mind, will, emotions, you're going to be silenced, because I'm going to sit here and have a conversation with my Lord, and we're going to talk today. And I watch my mind go, my stress starts going, my blood pressure goes down, there's a calmness in your breathing, folks. I'm telling you, listen, if any of you have done this, there you bodily feel something changing. Your anxiety, everything starts slowing down in the presence of God when you tell your soul, you're not in charge anymore. You're not in charge. But how does that happen? You have to intentionally make places for your soul to shut up. Jesus made his soul shut up. So he got away from the crowds, got away from the draining, got away from the draining things that are happening in life, and say, I got to be with him. Look at Jesus in Luke 22:39. You can write it down. It's not up on the screens. But it says, before he went to be crucified, he says that he went out as usual to the Mount of Olives with the disciples to pray. This is the reason why Judas and the soldiers found him to capture him, to slaughter him on the cross. They knew where he was and what time he would be there. So my word to you is go find that time and place and start saying, here's where my life is. Here's what my stage of life is. Here's the 20 minutes, God, that I'm going to tell my soul, you're going to shut up, and me and the Lord are going to have a good time together for the next 20 minutes. Silence your soul. David said, I have told my soul, you will be silent. So it's time to pull that 20 minutes and ask the Holy Spirit to start telling you when that is, where it is. And you're going to silence your soul. So everybody say, silence your soul. Now let me give you something that's going to make that 20 minutes so powerful that'll change your life. The next thing you do is you need to sing your song. Everybody say, sing your song. Oh, you're going to love this. Psalm 100, look at this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. All right, so for all my quiet Presbyterians in here, let me tell you, God told you you can start shouting, and I give you permission. Come on, you can shout for joy all the earth. I like that. Now watch this. Worship the Lord with gladness. Not looking like you've been baptized in formaldehyde. With gladness. Come before the Lord with not in tune songs, not in rhythm songs, just joyful songs. Sing your song. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. Come on, we ought to have a reason to praise God just for that. So what does this mean, Pastor? When you start silencing your soul, in that moment, you need to start singing your song. People say, oh, I want to get in God's presence. I want to get God's presence. Well, if you want to get in God's presence, you need to know His address. Can I tell you what His address is? It's P-R-A-I-S-E. It's praise. It's worship. It's singing. You want to get that's His address. You want Him to get Him quick? Start praising Him, and you are right where He is. I mean, He starts inhabiting. He gets right in. He's going to be right there. Just start singing your song. Sing. Everybody say, sing. Sing. Well, you say, Pastor, what song should I sing? Now, it's cool when I play praise and worship music. I play praise and worship music. I play it. But there's got to be a time in there where you sing. You just start singing. You say, well, what song should I sing? Sing the song that God wakes you up with. Sing a spiritual song to the Lord. All right? Now, sing the spiritual songs. This morning I woke up, I had a spiritual song, but then it slipped into a goofy song. I started singing it, and Brenda said, would you please stop singing that? It's irritating me. So when she said that, I immediately sang verse and chorus again. I just started singing this goofy song. It just started happening, and it really blessed me. She said, you need to stop singing that song. It's not. You want me to sing it? I blessed the early service with it. Oh, you really want to hear it? I'd be happy to sing it for you. Back in the day, they told guys you couldn't grow your hair over your ears because it was sin. So I started singing my song. It wasn't real spiritual, but it goes, if your hair's too long, there's sin in your heart. Get it cut today and make a fresh start. You'll live a life of fear and dread with that tangled mess upon your head. If your hair's too long, there's sin in your heart. Oh, did it bless you that much? I guess you want the verse then too, right? Okay. A rich young ruler came one day to ask about the narrow way, but his hair was long and he couldn't be saved. The preacher looked and said to him, the problem is upon your hair. If your hair's too long, there's sin in your heart. I can tell y'all blessed. Would you like me to record an album of that? I'd just be happy to. Wind and Embers, can I join y'all and put my song on there just to bless the masses? In fact, Wind and Embers, we got two live songs that are going to be coming out before too long. It's going to bless you. That we recorded live, or y'all didn't know we did. We were recording it live, but it's going to bless you. But that song, I got the early version of it, so I get it before y'all do. Because I'm the pastor. But whatever song God puts in your heart, start singing it. Start singing it. I start singing that song. Boy, when I worked out, I started singing it, you know. You know, I just start singing those songs, you know. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I start singing that song. Then I start singing that other one. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You just start singing your praise words. You say, well, Pastor, the only problem is I don't sing good. I know. I know. I just heard you. You were three rows back, and I heard you. You guys are good. Y'all are good. We're going to blame it on him right there. It's him. You say, I know you're a pastor. I don't sing good. I'm embarrassed when I sing. Well, that's why God says for you to be alone. That's why in saying you're supposed to be alone. He didn't want you to invite your wife. She can't stand it, you know. You be alone. But I'm telling you, when you start singing, there's a spirit that comes in. It starts changing the atmosphere. Why? Because God doesn't hear your voice. He hears your heart. And it's not the skill of your singing. It's the spirit of God in your singing, that your spirit starts singing and your soul sits back and something starts happening in their heavenly realms. Something changes in you. I'm telling you, sing your song. Something changed, transformational in that 20 minutes. When you, no, don't just let the other one sing by your play, just by your iTunes. Sing your song. Sing it. I don't care if it's an old song. I don't care if it's a new song. Let it be a spiritual song. I don't care if it's by Hillsong or Bethel. Sing a song. I don't care if it's by the Gaithers or the Chuckwagon Gang. Just sing the song. Sing it. And you'll watch the atmosphere shift when you sing your song. Don't just listen. You start singing. He says, when you start singing that joyful song, you enter God's presence. His presence starts coming in, and you start seeing his faithfulness. You start seeing his strength. Why? Because there's a different spirit. See, Satan wants to silence your song. Sing your song. It changes your whole attitude, your spirit. Let me just say this for a moment. Maybe the reason why you're always negative and depressed is, why don't you let me hear your playlist? Maybe the reason you're always rebelling and arguing and fighting with authority is, let me listen to your playlist. You know why? Because people say, well, there's nothing wrong with the words. Well, the word music, the word muse is spirit. Music, the word muse is spirit. There is a spirit on it before there were ever words in the song. And that's the reason why, young people, watch what you're listening to. I'm not here to tell you that all music is wrong. I'm just telling you there is a spirit. And could it be the reason why you're so angry at society and culture and politics and the word? Could it be the stuff you're listening to is putting a spirit on you that you're carrying? That's why when you pull alone with God, I start singing the songs of the Lord. I sing my song, and it changes the atmosphere. I don't care, sir, if it's on key. I don't care if it's off key. I don't care if the only time you're on beat is when you cross it. You start singing your song, and it starts changing the heavenly atmosphere, and God starts invading that space as you, oh, we ought to just start singing songs. Satan wants to silence. You know what Satan wants to silence? You know why he wants you to listen? I'm serious, folks. I'm telling you. Some of y'all need to start checking out your playlist and see if it's directly related to your attitude on things. If there's a proclivity to sexual immorality all the time on the date, why don't you check the playlist? If you're always wanting to have sex before you're married and you're on the date, why don't you and the person you're dating go through the lyrics and the spirit of the playlist, and I promise you it's playing into it. Now, I know I sent a wrecking ball right through this whole part of the... But it's true. I'm just telling you, take my word for it. Muse means spirit. When you start singing your song, that's the reason why, man, when we get in this service, the reason why the service is so powerful is because of the spirit that comes in the worship, and then when it starts connecting with you. Satan wanted some of you to fold your arms. He wanted you to stay quiet. He wanted you to fight over the rhythm. He wanted you to complain about the lights. He wanted you picking on everything you could pick on in this service. And let me tell you the reason why. It's because Satan wants to silence your song, because once you get the right spirit of God in it, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And those that worship me shall worship me in spirit and in truth. And the presence of God God comes in. I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you, I know what God is doing here, and Satan wants to silence your song. But why did Jesus sing? Look at this. Just before Jesus was going to get slaughtered, not crucified, slaughtered on the cross. He's going to get spit on. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be slapped. He's going to be beaten. Let me tell you one of the things that sustained him through the hell he went through on that cross. Let me tell you what sustained him. Right before he went to that cross at that Last Supper, the Bible says in Matthew 26, 30, notice this, that they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. And he's getting ready to die. Can I tell you the reason why Satan wants you to shut up from your song and pick on it and get the wrong songs is because he knows when you start singing like Jesus did before he went to the cross, that that has the power to sustain you, because that Spirit of God sticks with you while you are worshiping God. That's why he wants you to change your playlist to something dumb that's going to bring a wrong spirit. That's the reason why he wants you to pick on everything that... Listen, I watch people sometimes. Some of y'all just need to stop telling me about how you hate certain types of music from certain people. Listen, if the substance is the Word of God, taste and see that the Lord is good and eat it. I tell you, I just watch too many people fussing and fighting in church. Go fight a demon. Don't fight us. Selah. Satan knows it. Knows it. Listen, Jehoshaphat, one of my favorite stories of the Word of God. Jehoshaphat knew it. Here's the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Meunites are coming against the people of Judah, and they know, God, we're going to die. They said, God, we're going to die. We can't stand against these three armies. We're all our own. We're little bitty Judah. How are we going to do this? And God says, stand still and watch the deliverance of the Lord. Tomorrow you and I need to fight this battle. Go out against it tomorrow, for the Lord is with you, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord, God said to him. And here's what Jehoshaphat did. He says, all I know to do in this problem is somebody suit up the choir. We're not sending out the army. First, want to set out the choir, and you're going to start singing in front of the enemy. And look what 2 Chronicles 20:22 says. As they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. And the men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. God takes the weapon of the enemy and destroys him with the weapon designed against you. As you begin to sing in the middle of your crisis, in your 20 minutes, sing your song. It's powerful. And now listen, when you start singing your song, just sing. In that 20 minutes, sing. Nobody's there. It's just you and your pickup, brother. Sing. 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 Whatever song he puts in your heart, spiritual song, sing it. Just enjoy it. And then you can go listen to the playlist of other spiritual songs. Sing. You're by yourself. Who cares? Sing. Watch the presence. And let me tell you what. The devil won't steal your song because he knows it destroys him and it irritates him when you sing. It irritates him when you sing. He'd rather you fold your arms and pout about everything. Sing. Oh, just ruin his day and sing. Let me prove it to you. Let me show you something. I don't know if you remember this story, but in April 2014, a 9-year-old boy by the name of Willie Myrick was abducted by a child abductor. He learned the power of a song. In fact, just look at the news report. Just listen to the news
10-year-old report. 10-year-old is abducted from right in front of his home in Atlanta, Georgia, only to be released a few hours later. And you will not believe how he got the kidnapper to let him go. Trace Gallagher knows. Trace?
He did it by singing, Megan. It really has become the song heard around the world, and police say it may very well have saved the life of 9-year-old Willie Myrick. Willie says he was in his front yard. He bent down to pick up some money, and that's when someone grabbed him, threw him in their car, and took off. Listen now to 9-year-old Willie Myrick.
I didn't know what he was doing until he, grabbed me. And he drove me off to East Point. He told me he wouldn't hear a word from me, so I ain't say nothing.
Oh, he didn't talk. Instead, he started singing a gospel song called Every Praise. Willie says the man cursed at him, telling him to shut up, but he kept singing for 3 hours until the man finally stopped the car and told him to get out. The boy ran to a nearby home, asked the homeowner to call his guardian. By that time, police were already canvassing the city and quickly picked him up, saying the song saved him. Now listen to Willie sing the song on a local radio station.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God.
Come on, everybody. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Come on, everybody, sing it. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Come on, let everything that hath praise get every praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Come on, praise Him with all your heart. Don't worry what people think. Sing your song. Make the devil mad. Let him be liberated in your worship. Be freed in your worship. Woo! Come on, Jesus. Sing your song. You say you get a little radical. Well, I'm just behaving like you do at your grandson's soccer game. Only this isn't a piece of leather. It's the Lord. Pardon me while I get a little excited. If you knew it would liberate you and set you free from your captive, there's some of you that are captivated and held by the clutches of you're so afraid your kids are headed for the wrong direction. You're staying up sleepless nights. God says it's time for you to start singing in the middle of this crisis right now. In the middle of the addiction, start singing. In the middle when the enemy has you in his clutches and says, shut up, you just sing a little louder, you sing a little stronger, and you just crank up your song in that 20 minutes. Amen. Sing your song. Let's say it. Sing your song. Here's the next thing I want to give you. I want you to start having supplication over stress. Stress is a part of life. Some stress is healthy, but there's some stress that has now brought you into the spirit of fear, where there's fear, there's consternation, there's sleepless nights, you're not eating, you're not sleeping. That's not what God intended. And he says, here's how you have to handle stress, and Jesus had it, is you got to start having your conversations, your time with the Lord, that 20 and 20 have supplication over the stress. You say, well, what do I pray about? Pray what's on your heart. Pray what is the biggest concern of your life in that moment. Pray it. It may be for you or somebody else. Whatever's in your mind, that's what you should be praying about. Pray about what's burdening you the most. If it's your backslidden son, if it's your husband that's gone off to doing something wrong, if it's your wife that's turning away from God, if it's your finances, pray about it. If you can't figure out your career path, if you can't figure out who you're supposed to marry, who you're supposed to date, start praying to God instead of stressing over whether you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Why don't you start praying about God's will for your life? Pray over the stress. Pray over your finances. Pray instead of stressing out. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? This means, listen, some of us think, well, we got to pray for the president. We got to pray for the senators. We got to pray for our mayor. We got to get down this whole list of things to pray. Now, I'm telling you, there are times that God may give that to you, and that's what he's wanting you to do. There are those of you that have that mantle of intercessory prayer where God has told you specifically nations to pray over and leaders of those nations and countries and senators and names. If that's mantle, you better obey that mantle, and we are instructed to pray. There are times in our prayers that we do that. But I'm going to tell you the biggest lie of Satan is if you're praying for the things that concern you the most, you're selfish, and that's the lie of Satan. The Spirit of God and your soul is stressing over that backslidden man, over that backslidden husband, over that job, over what's happening, over the temptations in your life, over the addiction you're dealing with. You're stressing out over it. God wants you praying about the thing that is stressing you the most. And don't suck into the lie of Satan that somehow you're being selfish when you are praying for things that have keeping you awake at night. That is what the Spirit wants you to release to God, so your stress will no longer rule you, mind, will, and emotions, but the supplication of the Spirit will override and tell it to behave. You begin to pray in the Spirit. And people say, well, why pray for those things? What about? And there may be times you pray for senators and you're praying for missionaries. But I'm going to tell you, the reason why I tell you to pray about things that are burdening you the most, the things that are stressing you the most, that's got you the most concerned, I'll tell you the reason why. Because the things that burden you the most are the things that you pray the most passionately about. You are more spirit-prayed, you are more focused on it, And they're the most powerful, passionate prayers are the things that are stressing you. And God expects you to cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Start praying over those things. Can somebody say amen to that? Let me give you what Paul told the Philippians. Here's what he told them, Philippians 4:6. You ready for this? He says, number one, prayer over supplication. He says, don't worry about anything. In the Greek, the word anything means anything. In the Hebrew, the word anything means anything. In English, anything means anything. He says, if there's something that you are worried because you're on Social Security and the hot water heater is blown and I don't have to pray over it, he says, I want you to pray over stressing about these things. I want you to start praying about your finances. I want you to start praying about the dysfunction in your marriage. I want you to start praying over this. Pray over these things. I want you to tell you the power of miraculous things is going to happen when you start praying and stop worrying. So number one, he's telling you, relax. Everybody say relax. Listen, if you choose to fixate on the worst case scenario, okay, this is what's going to happen, and you keep fixating on that worst case scenario, and let's say that worst case scenario happens, let me tell you what you've done. You've lived it twice. You wore your energy out, your spiritual energy, and you wore yourself out worrying, and now you're wearing yourself out of something that's actually happened. Stop worrying about things that's not going to happen. I mean, worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but you're going nowhere. Here's the deal. Think ahead, yes. Plan ahead, yes. But do not worry ahead. Take no thought of tomorrow, Jesus said, what you shall eat or what you should be clothed with. He said, stop worrying. That's what pagans do. You're the children of the Most High God. Don't worry about anything. Relax in my presence. Somebody shout, relax. Relax. But then look what he says. Instead, pray about everything. In English, the word everything means everything. In the Greek, the word everything means everything. In the Hebrew, everything means everything. Right. You should be praying about it. Pray about everything and tell God what you need. He says, don't just relax. You need to start requesting. Bring supplication over stress. Start praying about it. Even the disciples in Luke 11, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. They knew the power of Jesus. That's why he went by himself. You take your 2020. Jesus knew it. Teach us how to pray. He didn't say teach us how to preach. They didn't say teach us how to cast out devils. Didn't say teach us how to lead. Didn't say teach me how to be a great businessman. Didn't say teach me how to make money. Didn't tell me how to teach me how to pray. Teach me how to find a great career path. Friends, here's what happens. When you get alone with God and you pray, that prayer is what empowers you to be the great businessman, the great educator. It makes you the great student. It makes you the great husband. That power starts coming in you because you are praying. Request. Everybody say request. And then it says, and then thank him for all he has done. You're in the middle of it, and all you can see is this is the problem. This is the problem. He says, listen, start thanking before you've already seen me do. You're still alive. You're still breathing. You're going to eat today. I've got you. You're my kid. Thank me for what I've done. In other words, start rejoicing. Sing your song. And then look what happens. He says, when you do those things, you start supplicating. You start relaxing. You start rejoicing. You start requesting. Look what verse 7 says. Then, here's what happens. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. The whole world's wigging out. You're sitting there absolutely calm because you got in his presence 20 and 20. Watch this. His peace will guard your hearts and it'll guard your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know what happens? You walk out totally refreshed. Supplication. Start praying instead of stressing about your job, stressing about your husband, whether he's going to leave or he's going to stay, stressing out and staying awake at night because you don't know if you're going to live or die. He says, start getting in my presence. Start rejoicing. Start requesting. Start relaxing and start refreshing in my presence. Come on, friends. How many know he's listening? He's waiting to hear your prayer, and he's listening to everything you say when you pray. Every word you pray, he's listening to you. I don't think God hears me. You think Alexa listens to you more than God does. You're convinced everything that thing's on, you better be quiet, Alexa's listening. You think it listens better than God. You're convinced it's listening better than God. And by the way, if you have an Alexa, you need to get rid of it because it listens to everything you say. But wait for the new male version that's coming out. They do. They got a male version come out called the Alex. It can listen to everything. It can hear everything you say, but it doesn't listen to a word you say. Okay? It's a male version. Hears you, but doesn't listen to anything you say. How many know your father's not up there with a deaf ear? How many know your father is waiting for you to give the supplication over the stress? That's the reason why he says your father, Jesus said, my father already knows what you have need of even before it leaves your lips. He's waiting for you to ask. Come on, how about supplication over the stress? Whew. Let me give you this last one, just a short one. When you start praying, he's going to start talking to you. You need to write those things down. But here's the most important thing you need to get. Are the scriptures that are relative to the things that are stressing you out right now in your marriage, your home, your kids, your physical maladies. Get the word and start reading it. First, you're going to go, I don't get it all. Just read it and start saying it over and over. Sit there and let him start talking to you. He'll start impressing you with things about that word. He'll start giving you a confidence. In other words, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to sit there and read it. I want you to soak up scriptures. Let it soak into you. Let it soak, drink it in like dry, thirsty ground. Let me show you what Isaiah 55:10 says about the word. It says, the rain and the snow comes down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same way with my word. I send it out. It always produces fruit. God says, when you start soaking scripture, sometimes I'm going to give you a word in that 20 minutes that's like rain. You've got a crisis in your family, and God says, like rain, here it comes, and it goes, boom, right into the dry ground. You don't even know it was there, but it went right into the earth, and it starts producing something. But he said, sometimes I'm going to treat my word like snow, where it sits there for 3 months. And then it begins to warm, and it starts slowly settling in your spirit. And it's producing something, even when you don't feel it, he's working. Even when you don't see it, it's working. He never stopped. He never stopped working. And he's birthing things like snow releasing that word, like rain coming in that sudden word. He says, just start soaking it up. Because how many know his word is a lamp unto your feet? It's a light into your pathway. It is the strength that renews you in the presence of the Lord. Come on, friends. How many believe it's time to soak up the scripture of God? Let it just soak in it. Reveal it. 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Break it up how you want it. Silence your soul. Sing your song. Declare it. Praise it. Start getting into that, friends. Let the Spirit of God get in you. Supplication over stress. And let's soak up the words he gives you. Write it down. Soak it up. I know what some of you are saying. Well, I don't know if I can do this, Pastor. Yes, you can. Let me ask you a quick question. What does 5 years down the road look from you right now? For your marriage, what does it look like 5 years from now for you in your retirement? 16-year-olds, what does 10 years at 26 look for you right now? What does it look like for you? I'm going to tell you that you will never find those answers until you pull away and silence your soul and be with God. And I'm telling you, business people, college students, senior citizens, you want to know what the next 5 years look like? You want to know what the next 10 years look like? When you start getting his presence, he will start unveiling to you things that he's going to start showing you, confidence in those steps, confirmations of what you should do, what you shouldn't do. It's going to start coming to you powerfully. But I know the drill. I know the drill. Y'all going to say, but I'm just so busy, I don't have time for 20 and 20. I'm so busy. I'm tired. Well, take a number, motor scooter. Because the world is run by tired people. Jesus knew it. He was tired. But he pulled away. I'm asking you to pull away. I'm just too busy. Let me tell you about Suzanne. Quite an incredible mom. Suzanne, young mom. You want to talk about busy? She had 19 children. She has 19 kids. 19, no lie. Nine of those 10 kids died while they were infants. You talk about the stress of not just raising 10 kids, but half of those kids die in infancy in your arms. How tough do you think that is for a parent to take? Your life is busy. You're stressed out. What if you lost half your children and you got 10 kids to raise? Your husband doesn't make good financial decisions. In fact, he's even have to gone to prison because he made poor financial decisions, and he's trying to do things for God. He's a preacher, but he's made bad business decisions. You got 10 kids. You're stressed out, you said? You got too much job? Have a conversation with Susan. And if you walk by Susan's house, people think she was a little bizarre because they would walk by and Susan would be sitting there, but she knew the power of being alone with the Lord. She understood the power of it, even with the issues with her own husband, even with the issues of raising kids. And they would walk by and she would have something draped over her head. It was the only quiet place she could go. She couldn't go to her prayer closet that you have at your home. She couldn't go to the park and turn on Hillsong. She had 10 kids. And while the kids were studying and were asleep, she would take her apron and put it over her head and she would start getting alone with God, and she would pray up to 2 hours while those kids studied or were asleep. And it was like rain, it was like snow. But two of those 10 kids, one's name was John and the other was Charles, and their last name was Wesley. John and Charles Wesley in the 1700s. And God used those two men to change the trajectory of church history, to bring the greatest move of God even to this nation, nations around the world, through John and Wesley, Charles Wesley. And that mama would sit there praying and interceding, quiet, alone with God. And even when she couldn't see it, he was working. And even when she didn't feel it, he was working. And she was able to sustain and stay strong in the Lord, that two of her boys would change the world with the gospel because she took time. So before you and I start telling each other how stressed out we are, you got to tell your soul, you are going to behave and we are going to be with the Lord and we are going to get in his presence 20 and 20. And even when we don't see it, even we don't feel it, how many know he's going to be working miracles in our midst in the name of Jesus? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together.